Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto. And it's chapter 4, right? Hold on a second, see if I can get in here. Sorry about that. Okay, yeah, so this is the Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto. This is the fourth chapter. The process of creation. We're on text number 12. Sri Sukha Vacha. Nama. Parasmai. Purushaya. Bhūyase Namā Parasmai Purushāya Bhūyase Sād Udbhava Stāna Nirodha Līloya Sarūbhava Stāna Nirodha Līloya Grihita Shakti Traitayaya Dehinam Grihita Shakti Traitayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Nupalakshya Vartmani Antarbhavaya Nupalakshya Vartmane Sri Sukhuvacha Nama Parasmai Purushaya Bhushaye Bhuyase Tarudbhava Stana Nirodhi Lilaya Grihita Shakti Traitayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Nupalakshya Vartmane Sri Sukhuvacha Nama Parasmai Purushaya Bhuyase Sad Udbhava Stana Nirodha Lilaya Grihita Shakti Traitayaya Dehinam Antarbhavaya Nupalakshya Vartmane Sri Sukhuvacha Nasmai Pushaya Bhuyase Thank you. Vaishnavis. Shri Sukha Vacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Nama, offering obeisances, Taramasmai, the Supreme, Purushaya, Personality of Godhead, Bhuyase, unto the complete whole, Sarudbhava, the creation of the material world, Stana, its maintenance, Nirodha, and its winding up, Lilaya, by the pastimes of, Grihita, having accepted, Shakti, power, Traitayaya, three modes, Dehinam, of all who possess material bodies, Antabhavaya, unto he who resides within, Anupalakshya, inconceivable, Vartmane, one who has such ways. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is the complete whole residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, for the creation of the material world, accepts the three modes of nature. He is a complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable. Purport. This material world is a manifestation of the three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the Supreme Lord, for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world, accepts three predominating forms as Brahma, Vishnu, and Shankara, Shiva. As Vishnu enters into the body materially created, he enters into every body materially created. As Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he enters into every universe. And as Chirodakshaya Vishnu, he enters the body of every living being. Lord Sri Krishna, being the origin of all Vishnu tattvas, is addressed here as Parapuman, or Purushottama, as described in the Bhagavad Gita 15:18. He is the complete whole. The Purusha avatars are therefore his plenary expansions. Bhakti Yoga is the only process by which one can become competent to know him. Because the empiric philosophers and mystic yogis cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead, he is called Anupalaksha Vartmani, the Lord of the Inconceivable Way, or Bhakti Yoga. Om Gyanatmanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshusunitam Inatasmai Sri Gravenama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yenabhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Tuvishcha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Sukadeva Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who for the creation of the material world accepts the three modes of nature. He is a complete whole, residing within the body of everyone, and his ways are inconceivable." So you can write a book just on this one verse. It's amazing. What to speak of all these prayers? So this book could be titled The Inconceivable Ways of the Creator. And there's a nice quote I like to read about the Srimad Bhagavatam. "The Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence. It will enable him to transcend the three modes of material activities, fruitive activities, speculative philosophy, and worship of functional deities as inculcated in Vedic verses." This is another inconceivable potency of the Lord, how just by reading this book, hearing about the Supreme Lord, we can become free from these material modes of nature. Isn't that inconceivable? Anybody. Even in his prayers, it mentions all the different races of human beings, how they could be liberated simply by hearing about the Supreme Inconceivable Lord. And there's another nice quote from a lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan in 1972. This talks about the inconceivability of Krishna working in nature. "Unless there is some systematic order, how everything is working systematically, as soon as there is spring, immediately thousands and millions of trees, immediately the foliage comes out. Immediately, as soon as there is fall, September, all the leaves fall down. Immediately. So this is the process of creation." This is the title of this chapter, Process of Creation. "Just as in the Bible it is said, 'Let there be creation,' and there was creation. So it is a fact, actually. But we cannot understand how much powerful is Krishna or God. Simply by his will, everything takes place. Millions and millions of things come out immediately, and millions of things immediately annihilated. That is Krishna. That is God." I'll just give you a taste of that. It's amazing. So this chapter, we see there's two questions that were asked by Sutta Goswami's relating of Maharaj Parikshit's questions. And there's two basic questions. In text number 6, we read, he says, "I beg to know from you how the personality guided by his personal energies creates these phenomenal universes as they are, which are inconceivable even to the great demigods." And then he's also talking here. In text 9, he says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, whether he alone acts with the three modes of nature or simultaneously expands in many forms or expands consecutively to direct the modes of nature." So he's asking here, how Krishna, how could he be one and then he's everywhere? So basically, he's asking how the Lord deals with the material energy, the material world. So these questions will be answered in the next 3 chapters, actually. But in this particular chapter, he's given a very good example of how, in order to understand the inconceivable, we have to understand what our position is. We are so minute and insignificant. And in order to try to understand the inconceivable, we have to pray for his mercy, pray for his grace. So this is what he's doing, this particular, starting with our verse today, text number 12. He's offering his obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All the way to almost the last verse. There's 25 verses in this chapter. And then all the way from today's verse, text 12 to 24, is offering obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even in his prayers, he's actually indirectly answering the questions. And it talks about the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's really, really nice. And there's another nice verse in text number 18. As I mentioned, it doesn't matter who you are, a Karata, a Huna, an Andara, a Pulinda, a Pulkasa. He mentions all these races, and even men addicted to sinful acts can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Why? Because of his supreme power. So he's offering his obeisances like this. So there's one nice paragraph in this purport. Srila Prabhupada in that purport explains all these different races, which is amazing. But there's one little purport I like to read, which is really nice. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings as they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been started, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change. By purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general, the politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions, because the pure devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, were to be guided by the good counsel of devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Sukadeva Goswami began his prayer by discussing the word Yat Kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place by which the complete misunderstanding between human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these pages. So Prabhupada concludes at the end of that purport. The conclusion is that the Lord, being all-powerful, can under any and every circumstance accept anyone from any part of the world, either personally or through his bona fide manifestation as the spiritual master. Lord Chaitanya accepted many devotees from communities other than the Varnashramites, and he himself declared to teach us that he does not belong to any caste or social order of life, but that he is the eternal servant of the Lord who maintains the damsels of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna. That is the way of self-realization. So that's interesting. Actually, the first canto, Srila Prabhupada, he worked on it in India, and the second canto is where he worked on it in America. And you see here, he's seeing the world situation and he's describing it in his purports and how it can be solved. And almost today, actually, these things are going on. People are all, you know, so prejudiced and so misunderstanding each other and looking at each other's races as, you know, that they don't like, judging them so many different ways. So we could see how this is a solution to the problems today or any time. And then in the purport of this particular verse today, Srila Prabhupada quotes the Bhagavad Gita 15:18. Yasmat charamatitoham aksharapi chottamaha atosmi loke vede cha pratita purushottama. Because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that supreme person. So this is the supreme. So nobody can surpass him, neither the conditioned or the liberated souls. So therefore, he's the greatest. So therefore, Krishna makes it clear that he is a supreme personality of Godhead. So it's mentioned the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord. And if you just look in Prabhupada's books, there's so many things Prabhupada says about this inconceivability of the Supreme Lord. And then I'll just mention a few sections and just highlights of what Srila Prabhupada has said. Actually, there's a Back to Godhead article on the six treatises of Srila Jiva Goswami. It's kind of an overview. And there's one section within that. It talks about the inconceivable potencies. And I'd like to read a couple of those sentences. Impersonalists believe that variegated potencies appear only when Brahman becomes adulterated by Maya. They say that Maya has two potencies, knowledge, vidya, and ignorance, avidya. According to the impersonalists, when Brahman is influenced by the vidya potency, he manifests himself as Ishvara, or God, in a personal feature. And when Brahman is covered by the avidya potency, it appears as the living entity. This is their theory of how God and the conditioned souls both appear from one Brahman. Because it mentioned how Krishna enters into all the bodies of the living entities. That's one of his expansions. But they think that he gets in Maya and that he becomes these things. He becomes material bodies. But actually, no. He actually is the super soul, as we discussed. He expands into everything. He expands into the heart of all the living beings. He even expands himself into the atom. And Srila Prabhupada said, even between the atoms, Krishna is there. So he's everywhere. He's expanding. But yet, he's still a person. He still has his personal form. So he continues here. Jiva Goswami refutes this. He says that God's potencies are a natural part of his personality and are not derived or borrowed from elsewhere. Indeed, he says Maya is but one of those potencies, just as heat and light are natural endowments of the sun. Krishna's potencies are natural and eternal parts of him. So he goes on, as a natural part of his inconceivable nature, the Lord reconciles all opposing qualities and contradictions. For example, consider this question. If God is transcendental, eternal, and unlimited, how can he have a personal form and thus become limited to one place? Srila Jiva Goswami says, we must first understand that God has achintya shakti, inconceivable potencies. The Lord can therefore have opposing qualities and still be unlimited. And this inconceivable potencies is what Sukadeva Goswami is offering his obeisances to. So he's understanding and glorifying Krishna as inconceivable and understanding what his position is and what our position is. And the Krishna and our relationship. That's the Sambandha. So he uses a nice example. For example, in one pastime, Mother Yasoda tried to bind Krishna by connecting so many bits of rope. But each time, the rope was too short. Yet it is not that the Lord became fatter and fatter each time he tried. He kept his normal size as a baby. In fact, the black thread tied around his waist stayed intact the whole time. This means that although he was limited, he was inconceivably and simultaneously unlimited. And therefore, Yasoda could not bind him. Stuck about inconceivability. So to insist that God couldn't function in this inconceivable way would be to limit him. So all contradictory and opposing qualities therefore reside in the Lord at the same time. That's why the scriptures make statements like, the Supreme Lord walks, but he does not walk. He is near, but he is very far as well. Such things are naturally possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because we try to understand Him merely in terms of our material experience and our puny logic, we fail. We truly begin to understand God, and only when we accept that He has Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potencies. So that's nice. Even though it's inconceivable, another inconceivable aspect is that we can understand a little bit. You know, not completely, but a little bit. It's even described that Krishna even can't understand His inconceivable potencies because they're always expanding. Understands them, then they expand, understands, expands. And here's the last sentence. But Srila Jiva Goswami points out that inconceivable does not mean we cannot understand Him at all. Rather, it means we cannot understand Him merely by logic. But we can understand Him from the revealed scriptures in which the Lord, for our benefit, gives knowledge of Himself. The moment we accept Achintya Shakti, we can at once understand so many facets of the personality of Godhead. I thought that was really nice. So this chapter is the process of creation. And Srila Prabhupada mentions how we should understand this process of creation. And he gives us a lot of points throughout his books. And I have a few references here, and I'll just highlight some of them. So he said, the word Buya indicates again and again, that is to say, the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation is going on perpetually by the external energy of the Lord. The Lord is unlimited and His activities are also unfathomed. With a limited source of knowledge and with imperfect senses, any living being up to the standard of Brahmaji, the highest perfect living being within the universe, can never imagine knowing about the unlimited. We can know something of the unlimited when it is explained by the unlimited, as has been done by the Lord Himself in the unique statements of the Bhagavad Gita. And it can also be known to some extent from realized souls like Sukadeva Goswami, who learned it from Vyasadeva, a disciple of Narada. And thus the perfect knowledge can descend by the chain of disciplic succession only, and not by any form of experimental knowledge, old or modern. So that's really good. That was from the second canon. That's actually from a verse 8. So, and then he mentions here, the whole material world, or even the spiritual creation, is a manifestation of the energy of the Lord. Just as light and heat of the fire are different manifestations of the fire's energy, the Lord therefore exists in His impersonal form by such expansion of energy. And the complete creation rests on His impersonal feature. Can you imagine that? Everything, all it says the complete creation rests on His impersonal feature. Nonetheless, He keeps Himself distinct from such creation as the purnam, or complete. And so no one should wrongly think that His personal feature is not existent due to His impersonal, unlimited expansions. The impersonal expansion is a manifestation of His energy, and He is always in His personal feature, despite His innumerable, unlimited expansions of impersonal energies. And he quotes, that's actually a reference from the Bhagavad Gita 9.5.7. So for a human intelligence, it is very difficult to conceive how the whole creation rests on His expansion of energy. But the Lord has given a very good example in the Bhagavad Gita. It is said that although air and the atoms rest within a huge expansion of the sky, which is like the resting reservoir of everything materially created, still the sky remains separate and unaffected. Similarly, although the Supreme Lord maintains everything created by His expansion of energy, He always remains separate. This is accepted even by Shankara, the great devotee or advocate of the impersonal form of the Absolute. So there we have it. So Prabhupada goes on, there's many nice references, how Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita, that one, I'm the source of all spiritual material worlds, everything emanates from him, and the wise who perfectly know me engage in my devotional service. So also we can see there's different types of creation. There's the Mahakalpa, the Vikalpa, and the Kalpa. And these are creations of the Lord in his features, Karna Daksha Vishnu, that's called the Mahakalpa. And then the creations of Brahma and dispersion of the material ingredients is called Vikalpa. And then the creation of Brahma in his each day of life is called the Kalpa. So those are also described throughout the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And then as far as Krishna expanding himself in different ways, and there's a nice verse from the 10th canto. This is very nicely described. Apparently entering among the varied species of living beings you have created, you inspire them to act, manifesting yourself according to their higher and lower positions. Just as fire manifests differently according to the shape of what it burns, therefore those of spotless intelligence who are altogether free from material attachments realize your undifferentiated, unchanging self to be permanently reality among these impermanent life forms. So that's another nice example of the fire, how it manifests differently according to the wood. So Krishna manifests according to the different level of consciousness of living beings, of how he appears there. So, and here's another nice reason why we should understand the process of creation. This is from an actual verse from the 11:20:22. Until one's mind is fixed in spiritual satisfaction, one should analytically study the temporary nature of all material objects, whether cosmic, earthly, or atomic. One should constantly observe the process of creation through the natural progressive function and the natural and the process of annihilation through the regressive function. So this is what we need to do. We have to, until our consciousness is established on the liberated platform and perfect knowledge, we have to constantly ward off the attacks of illusion by analytically observing the material nature. This is what we're being described to do. And then there's another nice verse from the Madhya Lila. All the creative energies which are inconceivable to common man exist in the Supreme Truth. These inconceivable energies act in the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. O chief of the ascetics, just as there are two energies possessed by fire, namely heat and light, these inconceivable creative energies are the natural characteristics of the Absolute Truth. So again, Prabhupada's using this example in his purports, and there are actually verses that Srila Prabhupada's quoting, and that he's just weaving into his purports like that. And then another point here is talking about the modes are omnipresent in the material world, and as such, at every hour, every minute, every second, the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation is taking place all over the universe. And as a verse I quote in the beginning, that if we just understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we could get free from these modes every second. They're affecting us. And there's some nice There's a lot of nice information from the Upanishad. It describes nicely how we go through these changes in the material world, the six changes, and we dwindle and die. So these happen to all of us. This is the process. So Prabhupada says here, there's one nice section I'd like to read, which he mentions. Okay, here it says, no living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, and this is the verse, Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. And this is a very nice paragraph here in this purport. No living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated, sattvika aniste, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke, he is freed of past and future mental desires. Then, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. In this regard, Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur cites the example of Mother Soda, another example. Seeing the whole cosmic manifestation within the mouth of Lord Krishna, by the grace of Lord Krishna, Mother Yasoda saw all the universe and planets within the mouth of Krishna. Similarly, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, a Krishna-conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigrations. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning home back to Godhead. So isn't that nice? So nice. So again, we're just reading that how Sukadeva Goswami is praying for the ability to answer the questions properly. So he's offering his obeisances to the Supreme. And because without the blessings of the Lord, how will he be able to answer? How can, if his words are not blessed? And this is one of the qualifications of a speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, a preacher, or any devotee who does anything. He must know that, practically speaking, that the Lord is inconceivable, powerful, and we are finite. And that we can only do anything just by his grace. So we understand our insignificant nature. We understand the nature of the Supreme, and we understand our relationship. As I mentioned, it's sambandha. We understand that. We know our position and our relationship. And only by the grace of Krishna can we actually do anything. So these prayers are so nice that it's just very wonderful how Sukadeva Goswami is offering his obeisances. He's very humble. And this should have been followed by, in the beginning when the Srimad Bhagavatam, they addressed it before Sutta Goswami, who is the person that was narrating the Bhagavatam, Ramaharshana Sutta. And he, you know, just see the opposite. Like when someone is unlimited and he's trying to understand the unlimited, but the unlimited entered into the assembly and he didn't even offer his obeisances. Just see the difference. But Sutta Goswami knows this and is remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how unlimited he is, and he's offering his obeisances. Such a nice way. So what a good example. So I'd like to end there. And thank you for your kind attention. And if there's any comments or questions or realizations. Okay, everybody agrees? All right, thank you. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.